Okay, we're starting here at the top of Lamed Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara is discussing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if it's dinei mamonenot, if you have ben zchud ben chuva machzirin, you're allowed to overturn the judgment if you get new information that tells you that whatever was decided until this point in time was incorrect. When it comes to dinei nefashot, it's not true. Dinei nefashot, it's only the zchud that mehapchim, but the chuva lo mehapchim. So when it says v'reminu, is that really true? Is this idea that you can undermine a psak halacha, that you can reverse a conclusion of a case? We have a Mishnah that says, Adanet adin, zikat achayav, chiyevet azakai, timeet atahor, tiheret atamei, ma sha'asa asui vishalem beveito. That once you've given a psak halacha, you're bound by the psak halacha, and even if it's incorrect, you're going to pay out of pocket. And that the way to rectify the situation is not to reverse the case, but rather to pay out of your pocket to ensure that the person who lost over here incorrectly, that you compensate them for their loss. So how do you reconcile between our Mishnah, which talks about reversing the case, and over here where we have the case stands, and you have to pay out of your house? So we're going to have four answers to this. First one is from Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef, Lokasha, Kan b'mumche, kan b'she'enu mumche. It has to do with who's adjudicating the right case over here. If he's a mumche, then he has the right to reverse the case. Because he'll say, listen, I made a mistake, or we got new information, we have to change the case. So the individual has one of the litigants can't say to him, listen, why don't you go with the first one, why the second one? He's a mumche. So we're so mech that he knows what he's doing, and if he wants to reverse the case, or if he wants to change what the outcome was, let me say, go ahead. But when he says, Eino mumche, he says, the litigant will say to him, why do you think that your new conclusion is better than your first conclusion? I mean, you can start to question his change of position, or you can start to question why is one better than the other. So when it's a mumche and he's above, right, that type of questioning, then he can reverse the case. When he's Eino mumche, he has to stand by his case and pay from his house. Mar says, "Ubumumche magzirin." Is that really true? By a mumche that we allow you to reverse the conclusion of the case or reverse the case? Baktani, imayam mumche the beit din patur milashalim. If he's a mumche the beit din, he doesn't have to pay. Now the indications are, if you don't have to pay, that means that the case stands. I mean, if you're machzir the case, if you reverse the case, then of course he doesn't pay me beito. There's nothing to pay. There was no loss here because you reversed the case. The only thing you have to pay from your house, or you would be culpable for the mistake, is if it stays. Whatever your adjudication, whatever your decision was, stays. And over here, we have a brisa that says, if he was a mumche, the beit din patur milashalim, it's such a continuation of the previous case that we brought before. But if he's a mumche, he doesn't have to pay. So how could you suggest that a mumche reverses the case? We have another situation here where a mumche is patur milashalim, which means the case stands, and he doesn't have to pay at all.
Why do we say that
will rectify that problem, because the person who, nobody will lose. I mean, that the person who's supposed to get his money will get his money. Maybe someone else also gets some money, but nobody loses when the judge pays in.
Right. But here in a case like this,
right,
someone loses. The chayav wins.
Right. So that, but Turman L'Shalem, Rashi says, which is a very interesting line here, says, Alma Mashasa Suya Miu Patur Meshalem, the cave into Mumchu, Mazla Bisha, the Hau Gavra, Gamla the Mite. It's your bad luck that you got, the judge went the wrong way.
No, but the judge now he understands that he made a mistake.
Right, but we can't, for the integrity of the system, we say, please don't, we don't overturn the case. We say the case stands, and the Mumchu is Patur. Number two is, that's part of being a Mumchu.
But we can't have this one in mind. I mean, there's nothing worse for the credibility of the system.
Right. The answer, yes, you are right. We're going to see that they're going to narrow that definition. I'm just telling you where the Gemara is right now. It's, yeah, Patur Milashalem, we're not machzir, because for the integrity of the system, we say he's a mumche, he's indemnified by being a mumche, and therefore he doesn't have to pay, and therefore the case stands. And Rashi says, Mazla Bisha, it's your bad luck that he made a mistake in this situation. So now, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman suggests that here, this is a better way to differentiate over here, which is, kan sheyesh gadol emenu b'chachma u'minyan, Kan she'en gadol minu v'chma minyan. Depends. Are you the top guy here? Are you the end of the, you know, the end of the road? Is this the, when you appeal in the courts, is this the court of appeals? Is this the Supreme Court? What are you up to in terms of the individuals that you are before? If you are reached the point where there's someone greater than you still, then you're allowed to reverse the case because the Balei Dinim will listen to you. When you change your mind, you can be toled on the person above you. You can say, my supervisor, the court above me looked at it and said no, and they reversed the decision. So if, as long as you can be toled on someone who's gadol mimenu, then the Balei Dinim will listen because they say, okay, the reason they reversed it is because they looked over the psak, or they looked over the case, this higher authority, and the higher authority said you did it wrong. Whereas if he's the highest authority, then the Balei Dinim will not listen. He'll say, they go, and he's going to reverse the case after. They say, what do you mean? You can't reverse it. You can't change your mind. You made up your decision rate. That's it. What's done is done. So in that case, we can't reverse it. That's what Rav Nachman's suggestion, is that the difference has to do with whether you're the highest authority or not. If you are the highest authority, that is the case we brought from Bechorot, which is that the case stands, v'ishalem b'beito. On the other hand, if you are not the highest authority, if you're not the highest authority, then it's our mission over here, which is you're entitled to reverse the case because the Balei Dinim will listen to you because you'll just say it was reviewed by the higher court or the higher individual. The third answer is Rav Sheshes Amar, and this is what you both, Shaul and David, were complaining about before. I mean, how could it be that you wouldn't change it when something wrong? So this is Rav Sheshes' suggestion. Kan Shetah B'Dvar Mishnah, Kan Shetah B'Shikul Adat. Depends what type of mistake we're talking about. What is the mistake here? If he makes a mistake with Dvar Mishnah, right now we'll loosely translate Dvar Mishnah as something that is found in the Mishnah, something that is obvious halacha. Something that's obvious as halacha, if you make a mistake there, we are going to reverse the decision. Kanshatab Shikul Adat is where there's some subjective, right, need for decision making over here, and the way you weighed it was different or incorrect. So now you can understand, in terms of protecting the integrity of the system, when it's something that's obviously wrong, we're going to reverse it because we don't want a bad, you know, decision to stand, and we don't want people to question whether the Batei Dinim are correct. Then when it comes to Shikul Adat are cases where it's not obvious what the outcome should be. And since it's not obvious, then you have to leave it up to the Dayanim. If you leave it up to the Dayanim, people aren't going to question whether this, they know, the Beis Din really knows or doesn't know. I mean, that it's Shikul Adat. So fine, in the end, he was wrong, but I don't think it's not going to bring to an undermining of the system because it's something where the either outcome could have been a possible outcome. Now, what is a Dvar Mishnah and what is Shikul Adat? Damar of Sheish, Damar of Asi, Tab Dvar Mishnah, Choser, Tab Shikul Adat, Eino Choser. Alright, so Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. So, probably the Girsa change. There's a Girsa change here in the Bach, which says it's Amalei Rav Hamnuna, the Rav Sheshet. Because you'll see that the subsequent question also is Rav Huna Rav Sheshet, and Rav Sheshet is the one who made the statement here, so it makes sense that Rav Huna is speaking to Rav Sheshet. So Amalei Rav Huna Rav Sheshet, Afilu Ta Bidrab Chiyav Rav Oshia. What does it mean, Ta Bidvar Mishnah? Is Dvar Mishnah literally a Mishnah of Rabbi? Or what about something from Rav Chiyav and Rav Oshia? Rav Chiyav and Rav Oshia, who were the ones who put together all the Braitot, so they were Talmidim of Rabbi. Do they qualify as Dvar Mishnah as well? So he says, Amalei, in. Yes, that's still considered a Dvar Mishnah. Says Afilu b'Drav u'Shmuel, even a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, is that considered a Dvar Mishnah? Amalein, yes, that's a Dvar Mishnah. Afilu b'Didi v'Didach, even me and you, he says Amalei at Anon Kat Lekano ba'Agma Anon. Well, we're like weed cutters in the swamps. I mean, what's your question? We're qualified. We're Amoraim over here. If we're Amoraim, why shouldn't we be classified or considered within the category of Dvar Mishnah? We're part of the Amoraim Achronim. It means that anything, as Shaul was just saying, that anything that is clearly defined in the Gemara, there are two positions or one position only. And then even when there are two positions, we know which way the halacha would go. There's a clear guideline or the Gemara gives you a hilkasa. That is all classified as Dvar Mishnah. So then, hechi dami shikul adat. What have you left over for shikul adat? So far, everything is Dvar Mishnah. Is there anything left for shikul adat? Since we saw earlier in the Masechta, Amar Papa, you go and trade tanai, utrei amurai, depli gadodi. And the Gemara is inconclusive, which we've seen a number of times. You have machlokas, the Gemara tries to bring a proof, Gemara rejects the proof, and that means that leaves the Gemara inconclusive with regards to this machlokas. So certain cases, we have principles about how the halacha should be. I mean, again, we saw this Rav and Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Surya, halacha Shmuel b'mamonos. And so we know there are principles laid out about how to make the Pesach halacha, but if we don't have those principles, the absence of those principles, and the absence of the Gemara giving us a clear Pesach halacha, so then, v'ikrei, v'avad kivchad menayu, it happened to be that it came a case before him, and he passed an halacha like one of the positions in the Gemara. V'sugya d'shmaita azle ki'idach, and the sugya in the Gemara seems to lean in favor of the other opinion. That's either because the Gemara takes a lot of time asking questions on that opinion or trying to straighten out that opinion, or the Gemara in other places seems to default to one of the opinions. So in that case, that's called ta'ut b'shikol ha'dat. I know shikol ha'dat. So shikol ha'dat is where it's unclear from the Gemara, it's not obvious from the Gemara which way it should go, but it seems from the Gemara that they lean favor one of the opinions, and he happens to paskin against that or with the other opinion. So that's called shikol ha'dat. As the Rashi adds, that it has to be that the rove judges would go the other way because of the fact that the sugya leans in favor of one of them. So in that case, that's called a shikol ha'dat. So I'll just make a couple points here. First of all, Rav Sheshish's answer is, our Mishnah, when it says you can be Chozer, that's B'dvar Mishnah. Dvar Mishnah extends beyond just Mishnah itself. It extends to anything that would be obvious, or an obvious Pesach Halacha, or the mistake would be more problematic, meaning that would be a greater undermining of the system to leave the mistake in place than to reverse the course of the, or reverse the case. So that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah from Bechorot, or the case from Bechorot, is a case where it's Tov B'Shikol Adat. Tov B'Shikol Adat is that it's an inconclusive Gemara, it would not be obvious. We see that the Rove of the Poskim lean in one favor, we see that the Sugyot lean heavily in favor of one of them. In that case, we say Shikol Adat, the case will stand, we will not undermine the case, again, for the preservation of the system, but you will have to rectify the problem, and that the judge will have to pay up. Now, whether he has to pay up or not will depend on whether he is a Mumche or an Enu Mumche. Right, whether he's a mumcha or not will determine whether there's a need to pay or not, or no need to pay in this case, because a mumcha is a patur, that's the indemnification that's given to a mumcha. If he's not a mumcha, then he will have to pay in this instance. And as Tosus points out, our whole sugya here is all about ptah b'shikol adat. All the sugya here has to do with whether a shikol adat, not where cases where it's tabed by Mishnah. So if you go back to the previous answers of like Rav Nachman's talking also, we're talking about cases of Shikul Hadat, and so is Rav Yosef. Everything here is based on Shikul Hadat and not mistakes in Dvar Mishnah. Everybody agrees with a mistake by Dvar Mishnah that there's nothing to talk about, that the case is reversed. The only question now becomes, b'Shikul Hadat, can you make differentiations between, right, our Mishnah and the Braita? Now, Rav Sheshi says that is the difference. The difference is Dvar Mishnah and Shikul Hadat. The other opinions say no. Within Shikul Hadat, we can also differentiate. So Rav Yosef tried to differentiate between Mumcha and Enu Mumcha, right? And Rav Nachman tried to differentiate whether you're the highest authority or not the highest authority. In all these cases, we're talking about Shikul Hadat. What type of Mumcha we're talking about over here, Tosos qualifies and says, maybe over here, that the Mumcha here we're talking about is a Mumcha the smicho, right? That Mumcha here could be a Mumcha b'dinim, or it could be a Mumcha with actual smicho. Tosos over here says that we have to maybe or suggest over here that the mumcha here is a mumcha b'smicha, and not just simply that kiblu alayu, that they accepted them as the judge, that they accepted him as the arbitrating judge. But mumcha literally means someone who has smicha. Gemara says, Eitve Rav Amnuna l'Rav Sheshit. So Rav Amnuna challenged this question to Rav Sheshit. That's why the Gebach again changed the previous year to read as Rav Amnuna asking Rav Sheshit a question, because here you have a series of questions like this. Again, Rav Sheshit is the Baal Memra, so that makes sense that he's challenging Rav Sheshit. Right, so it says, Maseh b'parah shenitna im b'shalah. It's a case for a parah who had its womb removed. Ve'echila Rav Yitarfon leklavim. Rav Yitarfon paskin that it was a treifa, and that they could feed it to the dogs. Obama said lifnei chachamim b'yavne. Then it was taken up to the chachamim in Yavne. Ve'tirua. They said, no, that's fine. In that instance, it's okay. Shnem, alright, shamar, or shemipnei shamar, todu sarofe. Ein parav chazira yotzeit melagzandra shel mitzrayim. This is the way they protected their intellectual property. They only let out, anytime they sold a pig or a cow out of Mitzrayim, they removed its womb, so it could not reproduce. Right, so, So, but the point being that they sold animals in this fashion. Obviously, they would not be selling trefot, or their business would go very fast, that people would not buy from them with the womb removed, knowing that the animal is going to die in the next, next couple of weeks or within the next 12 months. So obviously it's possible for the animal to live beyond that point in time, because the Egyptians were performing this surgery and selling the animals after this surgery was done. So that means that missing a womb is not a trefa. So there's Amrav Tarfon, Holcha Chamorcha Tarfon. I just lost my donkey. Why? Because now he's going to have to replace. He has his donkey. He's going to have to sell his donkey to pay for this para that he paskins was a trefa and they threw to the klavim. So now he has to pay out of pocket. So Amrav Rabbi Akiva, Paturata. Rabbi Tarfon, you're okay. Shekola mumche the rabbim patur milishalem. You're in good position over here. You're a mumche. A mumche is patur milishalem. So you're off the hook in this case. So now this is Rav Nun's question to Rav Sheshet. Ve'i'ita, if you're right that there's a difference between to b'dvar mishnah and to right b'shikul adat, well guess what? That's a mishnah. It's an explicit mishnah in Bechorot that when you natal aim shala is not a treifa. So here, Rabbi Tarfon's making a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah. What would you do in a case of Dvar Mishnah? You reverse the case. B'mita leimalei toy b'dvar mishnah ata, b'toy b'dvar mishnah chozer. So he says, why doesn't he just say to him, why did Rabbi Kiva say to him, you're a mumcha and patur? Just say to him, that's a tab b'dvar mishnah, reverse the case. So he says, chadava od kamar. He said one plus. He gave him both answers. He says, chadu d'toy b'dvar mishnah ata, b'toy b'dvar mishnah chozer. Number one, you can reverse your psak over here, because you were tired of b'dvar mishnah. Vote. Had it been that you were told b'shikul adat, you'd still be potter because you are a mumche ata. A mumche the rabbim patur milishalem. Anybody's a mumche is patur milishalem. So I'll give you two reasons. Okay, so that's the question which I was about to ask. Is the problem over here? You look at this, right? You go, what do you mean reverse the case? How do you reverse the case? It's too late. What do you mean? Okay, when you're talking about monetary matters, you can say reverse the case, and you can take the money that went from one individual and you give it to the other individual. Over here, there was a complete loss of the money. The only way to they fed the cat to the klavim. The only way to reverse the case over here is to compensate. There's no other way to reverse the case. That's Gemara's next question. Come on, you can't have a case. My kamoti from Amnur, Rav Sheshet. What type of question is this? Mi para? How can you ask for a para? Para, hare yechila leklavim, veleta, hatitahadeha. Says, what do you mean? The cow's not around to reverse the case over here. I mean, you can want to reverse the case. You can be toyed b'dvar mishnah, but there's no reversal over here. There's an impossibility. So, hachi kamarle. So he says to him like this. Now, this logic, I have to say to you that I'm not totally comfortable with it. I don't totally understand it. I'll explain it to you, and we'll leave it at that. But just so you know that it's not an easy logic. See, Iyamart bishlamata b'dvar mishnah eno chozer. If you believe that someone who's toyed the mishnah cannot reverse the case, then right alma kam dino. Then the din stays in place. And haynu dekam afked Rabbi Tarfon. That's why Rabbi Tarfon was afraid, because the din's going to stay in place. And then Rabbi Kiva responds to him, so then you can understand why Rabbi Tarfon's afraid. If you can't reverse the case, then he's on the hook to pay for the money, and that's why he was scared. Rabbi Kiva comes along and assuages him and says, listen, don't worry about it, because you're a mumcha l'rabim, you don't have to pay. But if you say that a toy b'dvar mishnah can reverse the case, leimalei. Kevan de ilu havai para, right? If the para was still around, din cholav dina, then your din would not be a din. We just hand the para back to its owner and say to him, listen, you know what? It's okay. It's not a treif anymore. Velo klom avata. You didn't do anything. Hashtanami lav klom avata. Also, at this point, you have done nothing. All right, so that's the logic here is that if the para was still around and you could reverse the case, then it would be as if your action was no action. So too, even when the para is not here, your action is classified as not being an action because it wasn't you who did it. What does that mean, it wasn't you, but who did it? So this Rashi suggests over here, lav klumavata. What does that mean, lav klumavata? The iuhu d'avsid anavshe. The litigant caused the loss to himself. Sheishlicha leklavim. Because he threw it to the dogs. You didn't cause the loss, but my psakta la shame trefut. Just because you and Paskin there was a trefa, because if you wanted to, you could have reversed your position. So because the only thing you did it was give up psak alacha. You didn't actually feed it to the klavim. That the Baal Din did. So I'm saying, what would you really want the Baal Din to do? Not listen to Psak Halacha? I mean, then he hears the Psak Halacha is treifa, so what is he going to do? Right, right, exactly. So how long does he have to hold it on to it to figure out whether he's going to reverse his case or not? I'm just saying the logic is difficult, but this is the logic of the Gemara over here, that the loss that's caused over here is not a direct outcome of your action. It's only a derivative of your action, which we would call in most cases garmi. So since it's a case of garmi, you might be patur. Tosfos takes it so far to say it's garmi over here. We know there's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to garmi, whether you have to pay or not. And Tosfos says over here that yesh lamar the sugi dahachi achi kerabanan. So sugi over here goes like the rabbanan and say by garmi you're patur. But if you were Rabbi Meir, the sugi was according to Rabbi Meir, the dan dini garmi, then you'd be chayav. Because over here it is. It's not even a grama case. You're really so close to being the cause of the problem. You're just missing that direct action. Right? That's all you're missing from here is direct action. But you're basically a case of garmi. And since it's a case of garmi, Tosfos is uncomfortable saying that you should really be patur. Over here, so he says, our sugi just goes according to the chachamim that you're patur. Alright, so that'll be the logic over here. Now we're up to the fourth answer. The fourth answer to reconcile to our Mishnah. Right, and the case Ram Bechorot. Rav Chista Amar, Kan Shnatal V'Natan B'Yad. It depends how the judge got involved in the case. Did the judge just give a psak halacha? Like we saw before, if he just gave a psak halacha, you could back away, you can reverse the case. Or did he physically get involved in the case? Did he take the money from one party and give it to the other party? Did he get when he's involved? So now, if he's involved in the case and he physically got involved in the case, then he is responsible because he physically did something. There he's culpable for what he did. If he's culpable for what he did, he's got to pay out of his pocket. On the other hand, if he never did Nasan V'Natan Bayad, it's just a Psak Halacha. A Psak Halacha, we'll call it an intangible item, and he can reverse the Psak Halacha. So that'll be the difference between the Mishnah and this case here by Danetadan. No, it's direct Nezek. It's Nezek. By getting involved, he's doing the Nezek. He's literally doing the Nezek. Meaning, if he gives a Psak Halacha, and then like we just saw with the Para, if he gives a Psak Halacha, then the litigant goes and or the person, the individual goes and feeds it to the klavim. So over there, who fed it to the klavim? The litigant. The judge gave the psak halacha, so he's only a garmi, he's not involved. If the judge himself fed it to the, if Rabbi Tarfon had picked up the para and thrown it to the dogs, then Rabbi Tarfon would be responsible for there and he would have to pay. That's why Tosu says, by the way, in the case backed by Rabbi Tarfon, it's below natan of natan biyad. Can't be that Rabbi Tarfon gave it to the klavim, even though the case reads, if you go back and read the case, it says, Rabbi Tarfon the Klavim. Rabbi Tarfon fed it to the Klavim. It sounds like he actually did it. But Tosfos says it's not him who did it. He gave the Psak Halacha and then the litigant fed it to the Klavim. So over here, again, the Nasam V'Natan Bayad makes a direct Nezek versus simply a case of Garmi. Now the Gemara is going to investigate. Can you come up? Before we had the Danet Adin Ziket Chayav, you had numerous cases. Does it work in all the cases? So Gemara says Bishlama Chiyev Et Zakai Kegon Shenatol V'Natan Biyad. That you can say when you made someone who was innocent culpable over here. If you took money from the individual who was obviously patur and you handed it to the other party, I understand how you can be involved physically in the case. You took money away from the person who said he didn't have to pay. You take it from him and you give it to the other party. If you were patur, the individual from having to pay money, even though you should have paid money, over there it's inaction. So how can you say natal v'natal v'yad? There's total inaction over here. Tzamalei patur ata. He says you're patur. We're missing that physical interaction. It's an unbelievable line of the Gemara. When you say paturata, it's as if you went ahead and did it with your hands. I mean, that's as if. Because in the case, what you'll have to say here is that there was no alternative. I mean, in a case where you are, the Gemara is going to give an alternative answer afterwards, which I think is a strong, the Gemara is going to reject this logic. I'm just trying to, at this point in time, what's the logic of the Gemara? Logic of the Gemara is that, in the case where I am mechayev, someone who's a zakai, I can physically get involved in the case, and therefore I'll be culpable only if I physically get involved. In the case paturata, where I say patur to the person who should have been chayav, over there is no alternative for me to be involved. So the only way for me to be involved in the case is patur, and then we'll consider that to be the nezek, because that's your only way to be in the case. Again, it is lacking the physical aspect, but because there's no other alternative, that becomes the physical interaction in the case. So Gemara said, all right. Matnita diktane dinim emanot makzirin ben eschud ben echova. So now, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? So you're suggesting our Mishnah is a case where he's nasa natan venatal yad. So then we say by dinim emanot makzirin, you can reverse the case ben eschud ben echova. Means the schut means right over here it's patur, chova means chayav. Bishlama the schut mishkachala. So how can you have a case of schut? The amalei miikara chayavata. In the beginning he said chayav. Mistakenly he made him chayav. Velo natal v'natan bayad, and he didn't intervene. Ella, right. So then when you go and reverse it, you reverse it to the schut. Ella lechova hecha mishkachala. How could you ever reverse a case lechova? Damalei paturata. What did he say in the beginning? He gave a psak halacha that you were patur. Amarta came into amarlei paturata kamoshe natal v'natan bayad dami. And when you say patur, it's as if you got physically involved in the case. You got physically involved in the case. How could you reverse the case now? Right. So Gemara says chadaktani. Our mission is just one big case. Our mission is not really two cases. It's one big case. Dinim emonot machzirin lizchut shechova. Right. So we in a dinim emonot, you can be machzir lizchut. You can reverse it for the zchut shechova, which was originally a chova. Meaning that when you pass in the chova as chayav, then you can reverse it the zchut if you didn't get physically involved. Right. So there, machzirin lizchut shechova the kavata gabi nefashot. By Dini Nefashot, a similar case, Machzirin Zchut, Ve'ein Machzirin L'Chova. Meaning that in a Nefashot, in a capital case, you'd be able to be Machzir L'Zchut, but you cannot be Machzir L'Chova. Machzirin Zchut, right? So now, based on you, what does it mean, Machzirin Zchut? Zchut greater than. Ve'ein Machzirin L'Chova, the Zchut, Shehi Chova. Alright, so now, over here, by the case of Nefashot, I have to run parallel cases. If I say that the case by Dinei Mamononot is that I'm reversing a case that I said Chayav, and now I made you Zchut, so by Mamononot I can have a similar case. By the case of Nefashot, I'm saying I can have a similar case, which is that if I said you're Chayav, now I can reverse it with Zchut. But it says by Dinei Nefashot, I cannot, right, Ve'in Machzirin L'Chova. What does that mean, In Machzirin L'Chova? You can't reverse the chova. We just said before, even by Mamononos, you can't reverse the chova. So what does it mean here? Im machzir the chova is machzir in the schut, schut greater. Im machzir in the chova is the schut shehi chova. When it's a schut, that would be a chova. So now, Gemara says, wait a minute. And we're talking about a capital case. A capital case is brought by whom? There aren't two parties in a capital case. There's only one party in a capital case. It's state versus so-and-so. I mean, it's basically a debate. Then bring someone to court. They were violating the Shabbos. They did something wrong, and they're bringing them to court. There's no other party. It's not the detriment. How do you talk about zchut and chova when you're talking about, if you're not talking about chayav and patur, how do you talk about zchut over here? The Gemara now wants to explain that the zchut in the Mishnah, when it comes to Dinei Nefashot, talks about zchut greidata, or zchut, which is a detriment to someone else. There is no someone else here. What are you talking about over here? So Gemara says, chovtei deman. Gemara says, halo kashto. Chovtei de gol adam. It's the detriment of the gol adam. So what do you mean the detriment of the gol adam? If you now reverse the case over here, when you reverse the case and say the murderer goes away and is patur, who gets upset? That upsets the gol adam, the family. The family thinks this person murdered their relative and he should be punished by Beis Din. And the Beis Din lets him go free and makes him patur. For them, that's a sense of injustice that's being done over here. It's the chovtam. It's a chovtei for them. So over here, we're going to say, what if they now reverse the case l'schut, right? That's schut greater than. Some cases, you can reverse the case to say he's patur and affects no one else. What's that? Like Shabbos, right? Those are cases where avodah zara, where it doesn't affect anybody else. But it's also a case where the schut, if you let him go free and you make him patur, like a murderer, that it's not only affects him, it affects the family of the victim. The family of the victim want to see this individual put to death. And since he's now not putting him to death, it's a chovtei. It's a negative for him that he's going to be let go. So Gemara says, "Mishum chovtei to go adam katlinu le'lahai." So what you're going to think over here? Your havamina would be that because the gol adam, right, is not happy with the outcome, he's going to be bad. We're going to put this guy to death. We're not going to pay attention to this chut. So over here we said, right? You're allowed to reverse. In Dinei Nefashot, you're allowed to reverse cases which are l'schut, means that it's only good, it only is to the benefit of the litigant. You're not allowed to reverse cases which are to the benefit of the litigant, but to the detriment of someone else by Dinei Nefashot. How do you have a case that's a detriment to someone else? Case of Gol Adam. So that's suggesting over here at this point in time that because the Gol Adam, the victims will be upset, you're going to kill this guy. Put him to death. That makes no sense. Vod, my Ben. The Mishnah says twice the word Ben. So now you want to suggest it's all one case? When you say Ben the school, it's Ben the Chuvah, you're going to suggest it's all one case? That doesn't make sense. So that explanation of our Mishnah, we're going to drop over here. We say Kasha. That's not a good way to explain the Gemara. Ravina comes now and solves the problem for Rav Chista and says, "I'll explain it to you." Ravina Amar Kagon Shayala Beubi Yado Mashkon. But not Lami Mendos, this is your question. Can't you come up with a case where you make someone patur and you still move something? Yeah, he was holding collateral. An individual, the creditor was holding collateral. And then you say to the debtor, you don't have to pay, you paturata. But you say paturata and you take the collateral and you hand it back to the debtor. Now you're physically involved in the case now, you caused the loss. Timeata Tor, what's the case by Timeata Tor that he's getting physically involved? The Agabe Sheretz. He says, I'm telling you that this stuff is tamei. I don't want it to be a safek anymore. He takes a sheretz and he throws it on the taros and he says, now I'm telling you, now you know for sure it's tamei. My psak halacha is it's tamei and I'm going to make sure it's tamei legamre. Tira to tamei. How do you make it that he's tohor? Even though the fruits are tohor, what can he do for? How can he physically be involved in the case? She'irvan bein perotav. He mixed them up with his other perot. He took these perot, he says, I'm telling you they're tohor, and he throws them with all of his other perot that are tohor. So now he caused them damage because he... Now he threw it in with his other payroll that are tahor, and now they're really going to be tamei, because the payroll is really tamei. So these are all cases where he can be physically involved. So this suggestion of Rav Chista, that physical involvement versus, right, just psak halacha, by just psak halacha, you can reverse the case, because you're not culpable. The case where you're physically involved, you can't reverse the case, because you're culpable for your actions. You're culpable for your actions, now you've got to rectify the case and pay out of pocket to rectify the case over here. And now the Gemara came up with all these possibilities of how it can be that you're physically involved with the case. The Tosfos points out earlier in our Gemara, what was the Gemara's havamina earlier on? When the Gemara says, Masha asu asui vishalem beveto, why when he was tiara to tamei, why did he have to pay? Something was tamei, and he says it's really tahor. So now when he says really tahor, why is the judge obligated to pay over here? Now if you tell me nasav natan biyad, that he physically got involved, he mixed it up with his payroll, I can understand that, but that's only the maskona of the Gemara. In the havamina of the Gemara, why does the Gemara think that someone who's mitahar et tameyot has to pay out of his house? What is he paying for? So the Gemara says, or Tosa suggests, that there's a difference. In the havamina of the Gemara, hashta svirle kishi irvan balabayit. Alright, so now the question over here is whether the Balabayit did it or the Chacham did it. What we're thinking at this point in time is that the Balabayit mixed the fruits in. When the Balabayit mixed the fruits in, that is when we say Tirat Tamei and he's going to have to be Shalem Bebeito. He has to pay from his house because he caused the Balabayit a problem. Now look, if the Balabayit, the rove of the Peirot were Tahor, it's both of a rove. But if it wasn't a rove, then he has a problem. He's got to pay out his house. Because of Dine de Garmi, and Tosfos says at that point in the Gemara they're thinking like Rabbi Meir. By Dine de Garmi, you're going to have to pay. So that's what the Havami of the Gemara is, that there was a loss of money here. When he was Tirat Tamei, there's a loss of money because he mixed it with the payroll, but it was the litigant that did the mixing. And the latter part of the Gemara, when the Gemara concludes, it's where the Dayan himself did the mixing, and that's why he's on the hook for it, because it's no longer even Dine de Garmi, it's actually physically being involved in the case. Right, next Gemara, Dine de Fashot. Person in a capital case is taken out, they paskin that he's chayav, and then all of a sudden somebody says, I have something good to say, I have a zchut for him. How do we know that we bring back the case? Talmud Omar, because the pasuk says, Naki al tarok. If he's innocent, don't kill him. They paskin that he's patur, he went out of Beis Din, he was freed. And then somebody says, well, I have evidence to the contrary. I have something to say that would make him chayav. How do we know we don't listen to him? Tzadik al tarog. When it comes to a tzadik, you should not kill him. So the Gemara is playing on the distance between tzadik and naki. Tzadik and nari, tzadik and naki al tarog means that a tzadik is someone who's nitzdak. Tzedek. He was made to be, innocent in court, but he is not naki. He's not clear of the chait. He really is chayav, but Beis Din said he's the tzaddik, that he's okay. Naki means he's totally clean. He's clean of the chait. He didn't do the chait. So that's the differentiation. The Gemara says that's how we know. In cases where he was made chayav, he's considered a rasha, nevertheless he's a naki, there you have to reverse the case to make sure al tarog get the naki. Where he's made a tzaddik, I mean that Beis Din said he's okay, even though he's not a naki, you don't bring him back because he said tzaddik al tarog. Once Beis Din says patur, that's it. We don't reverse the case. There's no such thing as double, there's no double jeopardy. You're not allowed to be tried for the same case twice. Beis Din says you're patur, we don't try you twice. Now, the Gemara says, Amram Simi Barashi, v'chilufa l'mesit. But mesit is just the opposite. Because in mesit it says, lo tachmo, v'lo techase alav. Have no mercy on him and do not cover him up. So that means that, again, you don't give him the benefit of doubt. That means if you have a chova, you bring him back. If he was let go, patur, if he was made chayav and we find a schut, we don't listen to the schut. He's gone. We don't turn over in favor of a mesit. And we saw that earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara discussed why that is. All right, Rav Kana Matne, Rav Kana learned out that a mesit, you don't reverse the case for him in these cases because it says miki harog tearagenu, right? That you did when you ki harog tearagenu, you must kill him, you must put him to death. And that the demand or the double lashon putting him to death means that we insist you put him to death, not like the other case where we say it's tzadik and naki al tarog. Right, so we don't want you we don't want you to kill. Over here, we do want you to kill. We want you to get to the end of the case. Mesit, we don't want to look in favor of him at all. Right now, Baimine Rabbi Zerim Rav Sheshet, Chayve Galiot Mahu, or Mai, what's the din? By Chayve Galiot, are they considered din in a fashot, and therefore we don't reverse the chova, or not? It says, Acha Rotzeach Rotzeach. We have a limud, a gzer shava of Rotzeach Rotzeach, which is that by Chayve Mitod it says Yumata Rotzeach, and by Chayve Galiot it says Lanush Shama Rotzeach, and therefore it has the same din as a Chayve Mita Bemezid. Chayve Malkiot Mai, what's the din by people who are corporal punishment? Atio Rasha Rasha Rasha, it says Ashu Rasha Lamot, and by Malkiot it says Vaya Im Bin Hakot HaRasha. So the word Rasha is used in both cases. Therefore we parallel the cases. That means that even in corporal punishment cases, in cases of Galut, Shogeg, murder by Shogeg, those cases, if he's let go free and he's let innocent, we do not bring him back to Mechayev him. On the other hand, if he was let go and he was found guilty and we find something in his favor, we will reverse the case and bring it back. Tani and Amiyoch, we have a brisa that supports that position. Chai v'galiot minayin. How do you know chai v'galiot? We don't bring him back l'chova. Acherotzeach, acherotzeach. Chai v'malkiot minayin, at the rasha, rasha, v'im makzir l'chova. Therefore, we do not makzir l'chova in any of these instances. Right, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shita'a b'dvar she'en atzdukim modim bo. All this is where he made a mistake about something that tzdukim don't agree about. Meaning that here in this capital case, they made a mistake about something that is not mifurash v'kra. V'ta'a b'dvar she'atzdukim modim bo, something that's mifurash from the kra, and everybody knows, they say, zil kari be'ravu. Go to Cheder. Everybody knows Tanakh. Everybody knows Tanakh. Go read Tanakh and I'll tell you what you should do. So if you make such a mistake, then you bring him back. Because in that case, it's not even considered a psak halacha. It's not even, you can't make a mistake. It's so obvious that you have to bring him back. Even if you did it l'schut, you bring him back to chova. Because in these cases, it's zilkari beirav. So b'ayminei Rabbi Chir, b'avimei Rabbi Yochanan. Ta v'no eif, v'no efet, mahu. In the case of adultery, what's the situation? So Malay, Admoktach Yakid, right? Zil Kotz Karchav Getzali. Says once you're, well, if you have your fire going, go cut your gourd and roast it over there. Meaning that, what's the point? What's Rabbi Yochanan suggesting back to him? He says, well, if you're already dealing with your Shmaita and you're trying to explain this, think about what you just said. You heard from me that anything that the Stukim agreed to, you don't have to worry about. Or you can bring them back. Right? You're Choser. Whereas when it's not something that they, so what are you asking me the question about? No way, if no effort. No way, if no effort is explicit in the Torah what their punishments are and what should be done. And therefore there's no, what, you shouldn't have a question over here. You should be able to apply what I taught you and know what the answer is. The answer is that you would, well, the Stukim agreed with it, and you'd have to reverse the case. You would bring it back. What's the case where you're not choser? So Rashi says over here, what's shalokidarka? That is that we learn out shalokidarka means that you can have adultery. There are two ways to sleep with a woman, and in both those cases you are chayav adultery. That is learned out from the plural usage of mishkevei isha in the pasuk. Mishkevei in the plural. So that means both kidarka and shalokidarka you'll be chayav. Now kidarka, obviously to the tukim, because that's not a drasha, that's in the pasuk. But the drasha of mishkevei isha, according to Rashi, is a drasha on the pasuk, and therefore the Sukkim don't necessarily agree to it, and since the Sukkim don't agree to it, therefore there you would not be Chozer. So that's the case in the way from the effort, when you wouldn't be Chozer. That's the way Rashi runs the Gemara. Tosus runs into a problem over here for a number of reasons by Rashi. One is that he says that Shlokidarka is something that the Sukkim do agree with. So if it is something that they do agree to, then how could you say that? So Tosus learns that Shlokidarka over here is something different, and that is by kedarka, your chayav, even for hara. You don't have to have full penetration, just the tip goes in, that's enough to be chayav. Right? So lo kedarka, you need what's called gemar bia to be chayav. So that is the difference here. The difference in machokas with the tzukim is versus hara versus gemar bia. And that's where you wouldn't reverse the case, because that's not something that the tzukim agreed to. But everybody agrees, lo kedarka. Based on that, and Tosus says that the question before about noef and noefet is not so obvious. So what? How could you suggest, like Rashi is suggesting here that Rabbi Yochanan's answer to Rechia is, I taught you how to make the differentiation. But then the Gemara comes back and says, there are cases where by noef, noefet, we don't reverse the case. So how can you say it to him? It's so obvious. So Tosa says the question and answer is not this. He's saying to him, is there, he questioned that Rechia is asking him, is by noef, noefet, is there something that the Tzukim don't agree to? Rabbi Yochanan says, comes back to him and says, well, ten leiv lavin, ma'hin modin, ma'hin modin. But tamifreish shas hechidami. So Rabbi Yochanan's answer is, well, what are you asking me? Just figure out what they do agree to, what they don't agree to. Meaning, why are you asking me, is there something in this case that the tzukim wouldn't go and agree to? Just figure out what the tzukim agree, don't agree, and you'll know the halacha, because I gave you the principle, and you can use that principle. That's what the Gemara afterward comes to show us. What is it that, how do you apply? If you apply the principle, you'll get a case where they do agree, and a case where they don't agree. What's the case where they don't agree is shalokidarka. So that's the way Tosus reads the Gemara. Right now, by dinim emonot, anybody can be malamed hakol, malamed zchut. Hakol, vafilu edim. Anybody, even the edim who came to testify in the case, they can be malamed zchut on this individual. If they came to say that he's chayav, and they testified against him, if they think of something that's zchut, they can speak up. It says, let's say our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, not the Rabbanan, the Tanya. An Eid Echad cannot affect the capital case, Schut or Chova, either way. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Onel Schut, Ven Onel Chova. Eid can speak up for the positive, but he can't speak up to the negative. Amar Papa, no. When we say on our Mishnah, Kol, it means Echad min Talmidim v'divrei Akol. It means that one of the Talmidim who's sitting on the bench can speak up the Zchut, and then even the Rabbanan agree that they can do this. My time with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's the logic behind Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's position? Damar Kra, Eid Echad lo yaneh benefesh lamut. Lamut hu dein oneh, aval l'zchut oneh. He can't do it to kill him, but he can do it to save him. So that's when an Eid Echad can't speak up. Rabbanan Amrei Reish Lakish Mishom Demechsek in Nogea Beiduto. Problem is, it looks like he's no gav eduto. Why? Basically, what does it look like? He realizes now his testimony is going to cause this guy to die, and he wants to reverse his testimony. But as a principle in Beis Din, kevin shehigid shuvenu chozer v'megid. Then once you've said something in Beis Din, you're locked in. You can't reverse your position. So he figures out a way to reverse his position without reversing his position. What does he do? He's melamed zchut on the litigant. That's how he's backing out of his edut. He's backing out of his edut not because he reverses his edut, but he finds a backdoor way to make the guy innocent so he won't be a problem. Why? He's afraid that he's going to be found in Eid Zomein. He lied. And now he's going to be found in Eid Zomein, and he wants to protect himself. And Eid Zomein is only when they have a Gemar Din. So what does he do? He goes, I have a schut for this guy. I have a schut for him, so you can't get to a Gemar Din. If they don't get to a Gemar Din, he'll never be chayav as an Eid Zomein. So in order to protect himself is why he's jumping in, to protect the litigant. So that's why the Chachamim say, it doesn't matter the Zchut or the Chovah, they say you can't speak up because it looks like you're Nogeya Beiduto. It looks like you're covering up something. You like to protect yourself. We're worried about ulterior motives over here. We're not sure that you're doing this all just to protect the litigant. Alright, Varabalan Hai Lamut, my Darshibe. The word Lamut, what are they going to do with this? Like we just said, maybe like one of the Talmidim that they can speak up. Ketanya, Ketanya, Rabbi Reis Armer, Echad Mina Edim. One of the Edim says, Zesh Lemoda loves Chut, Minayin Chin Shomim Lo. This is the position of the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. Aid Echad Lo Yaneh. Aid's not allowed to speak up in the case. You're not allowed to be an aid. An aid has one job, that's to give his Eidut. He can't get involved after that. He's out of the case. Minayin Echad Mina Talmidim, Shem Yesh Lemoda loves Chuva. If one of the Talmidim says, I have something negative to say, how do you know Shem Shomim Lo? Echad Lo Yaneh Benef Shlamut. You leave out the word aid. You say achad oyaneh benef shlamut, which means that you can't say something to the detriment, but you can say something to the zchut, which is what the Chachamim's position is. That our mission is talking about the talmidim, and we say this divyakol, where the talmid can speak up to zchut, and he can't speak up to the chova. Right, we'll stop here.